the body of a dead person, that's considered very inauspicious. One thing, the dead body is in itself inauspicious, Hare Krishna. And the smoke coming from it is also not a good smell. Some things when burned smell nice. Most things when burned don't smell very nice. But some things, agarbatti is particularly made to smell nice. Of course, some agarbattis, they smell horrible, the cheap ones, but it's supposed to smell nice. It's supposed to be made on from a basis of cow dung. Now, apparently, some of them use pig's stool, according to the advertisement in the ESKCON World Review. But maybe that's why it doesn't smell so good. But agarbatti, that's considered auspicious because it smells very nice. It becomes something favorable. It should be used in the service of Krishna. That should be used in the service of Krishna. Whereas if the smoke from a dead body touches your body, you become impure. You can't worship Krishna unless you take a bath and change your clothes. So it was expected that the smell from the smoke from Putana's body, burning a dead body, especially of some rakshasi, must smell very bad. But it was a nice smell. How is that? Because of the touch of Krishna. And particularly because Krishna favored Putana, then even though Putana is a rakshasi, most inauspicious, going around eating, killing and babies and sucking their blood, I mean, you can't, it's difficult to think of anyone, it's difficult to think of anyone who could be more cruel or horrible or rejected in human society than someone who finds babies by trickery, by pretending to be very nice and then kills them by sucking their blood. So Putana was a most horrible, condemned person. But now she's become very auspicious because Krishna has favored her. By the touch of Krishna, everything becomes auspicious. And conversely, without Krishna, everything is inauspicious. In the smarta consideration, there is consideration auspicious, inauspicious. That means from the smriti, what is auspicious? What is inauspicious? At all these considerations, if you touch a dead body, you become inauspicious, all these things. But ultimately, anything in relation to Krishna is auspicious, and anything without a relationship to Krishna is inauspicious. Even if you perform all the rituals in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, even if you perform them, you see, the smartas, what are they doing all the time? They're always, at least traditional smartas, they're always very much concerned to keep clean, to keep pure, always reciting mantras so that they can be freed from any sinful reactions, known or unknown. The smriti is full of so many different rules, the different rules and regulations, so many different rules for everything you do. They have to be conscious all the time. What am I doing? Just like sometimes I say to you, give something with the right hand, don't take it with the left hand, and like this, many small rules. Because if you don't follow these rules, then you become contaminated, you become inauspicious. But actually their whole existence is inauspicious if they're not devotees of Krishna. Even the smartas, they also chant the name of Vishnu regularly because they think that Shastra says, by chanting the name of Vishnu, you become free from sins. So they take it as a kind of bath cleaner or something like this. We shall use it. Like you have Vim in India now? It's like, they take Vishnu's name like Vim. You use it for cleaning up. I did so many sins, okay, Vishnu, 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 Narayana. Now I become free from sins. Until next time I sin. So again we'll sin. So actually they're chanting, some auspiciousness is there, but not fully. Because then they're not chanting in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna. But Jagadananda Pandit says that Ashadu Shange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hai. Bahire Nama ka bhate, tabu naam nahi hai. He says that If you don't chant in the association under the guidance of devotees, then you're chanting, the sound may be there, but Krishna is not pleased to manifest himself in that chanting. So however auspicious you may be, that's all on the material platform. That will help you on the material platform. That may help to keep you pure on the material platform, so that you can maybe go to the heavenly planets or whatever your desire is. But it doesn't lift us to the spiritual platform simply by following those rules and regulations. The spiritual platform means to please Krishna. That is the crux of what is spiritual and what is not. Often we hear this talk, material, spiritual, in the Western countries especially, they have the idea that materialist, someone will say, well, I'm not a materialist. It means I'm not interested in fast cars and a big watch, and they think I'm a spiritual person because I'm not interested in all these things. But that in itself, that may be good. That means you're not overly or grossly attached you're not attached to gross material objects, but one may be attached. He must be attached on another platform of materialism if he's not attached to Krishna, because you're not, simply by not being attached to opulence, you don't lift yourself to the spiritual platform, which is to be attached to Krishna. So they may be attached to not being grossly materialistic and proud of that. That may be their attachment. Or they may be attached to their old pair of jeans. They may be attached to living in the country. Attachment must be there. Attachment is always there. So if one is not attached to Krishna, if one is not Krishna conscious, then he's not in an auspicious position. Now, here the deities have very kindly agreed to be present here. And we see that in our deity worship also, there are so many rules and regulations to be followed. So you may say, well, it's Krishna who is being worshipped. We're worshipping Krishna. And we're also chanting Hare Krishna. So it doesn't matter if we may think it doesn't matter whether we follow these rules and regulations or not, because we're worshipping Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, where is the inauspiciousness? But rules and regulations should be followed. There's a different understanding to that of the Karmakanda Smartha Brahmins. The rules and regulations, they should be followed to keep us pure for worshipping Krishna. One who's fully pure devotee, he can do anything and everything, because he declares himself to be obliged to accept the offerings of devotees, of his pure devotees. But we being practicing devotees, we have to be very careful to follow all the rules and regulations in deity worship. Otherwise, if our attitude is lax, then Krishna won't accept. We don't have that consciousness that we're simply always absorbed. Actually, pujaris, sometimes it's difficult to have the proper consciousness when you're offering five artis a day. Sometimes, just like those who are not pujaris, at least they may have a feeling that sometimes we're chanting Hare Krishna, but almost mechanically, because you have to chant 16 rounds. So sometimes pujaris, they sometimes are offering five artis a day. And it's very, very difficult to keep the proper consciousness that this is Krishna standing in front of us. So at least the rules and regulations should be there to keep us on a platform pure enough to worship Krishna. Actually, pure enough, the real purity means to be always thinking of Krishna. But in this deity worship, this means worship of Radha Krishna, but we offer to Krishna in the mood that we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayana, in which there are many rules and regulations to be followed for the sake of maintaining awe and reverence. Those who are pure worshippers of Radha Krishna, they are on the platform of Rag, pure attachment. So we've heard so many stories of devotees that Vamsidas Babaji is known. Oh, there's a problem, huh? Pigeons. Dangerous to sit there. Another thing to be seen too. So those who are on the platform of Raj, like Vamsidas Babaji, we hear so many stories how he would not dress his deities, or he wouldn't follow any system of archana. He can do And Krishna will be pleased by his pure worship. But if we do that, we become offenders. So the point here is how Putana became purified, even though she was inauspicious. She was inauspicious because she was a non-devotee and a gross non-devotee. She wanted to kill Krishna. But she became auspicious by the touch of Krishna. So Prabhupada, he many times said that it's not necessary for people to, we're not talking about so much giving up so many things, but adding Krishna to our lives. So anyway, what we're doing, we have to do something in this material world, so add Krishna. Many times people ask, practically every time, any time you're speaking to some person who's newly coming to Krishna consciousness, they ask, well, what would happen if everybody in the world chanted Hare Krishna? Then who would work, who would produce? But we never say that if you chant Hare Krishna, you have to give up everything, as they say. No, you add Krishna, that will make your life inauspicious. Just like generally it's said that, at least in the part of the Shastras we read, that householder life is very inauspicious. But if Krishna is firmly in the center of householder life, that becomes auspicious. Without Krishna, it's simply cause of bondage, animal life. As the animals are eating, sleeping, mating and defending, so materialistic people, they're also doing it without any higher goal of life. But if the purpose of everybody is simply to, in the family, is simply to please Krishna, then it becomes most auspicious. Prabhupada once asked Satsrupa Maharaj to write a book called Things Without Krishna Fail. Without Krishna, whatever you do, it's a failure. This word in India, it's a common word, failure. The worst thing you could possibly be, the worst insult practically, is to label someone a failure. Or the worst fear everybody, young people have, is that they will be a failure. That my life is a failure. But everyone's life is a failure without Krishna. Even big heroes of the modern world, Churchill was considered a great success. He led his country to victory in the war, but it was failure. They all failure without Krishna. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Without Krishna consciousness, everything is simply hard work without any auspicious result. It's all useless. And with Krishna, everything becomes successful. Just like we're talking, as Bhangshidas Babaji, he was a, materially speaking, he was a failure, absolutely, from very low caste, fisherman caste. And uneducated, illiterate, failure. Srila Prabhupada, his business was a failure. His business enterprises, they didn't succeed. But he was a great success by giving Krishna to everybody. So this is the point, that anyone, however fallen they may be, if their life is touched by Krishna, it becomes auspicious, it becomes pleasing, the fragrance of Putana's body. Even Putana, you see, we think of her as a great Rakshasi, but still we're remembering her because she was in relationship with Krishna. She became such a great success that she's being remembered even 5,000 years later. You see, all the great successes, these computer programmers who go from India to America and earn $10,000 a month, they become successful, but no one cares for them. They're not going to be remembered 5,000 years later. But Putana, Kirtir Yatsya Sajivati, Prabhupada used to quote, that one who has fame, he continues to live. So Putana, her life became successful. By what? By little feeling of maternal affection she had for Krishna. Even it wasn't full. There was more anger towards Krishna. There was more bad feeling towards Krishna. But little spark of good feeling towards Krishna. And Krishna was so merciful that he accepted that. He accepted the good quality of Putana. Of course, that was Putana's good fortune. By the causeless mercy of Krishna, Here in Gujarat, especially in other parts of India, we see many people, most people, they have at least some little good feeling for Krishna, if not more. Mostly people, they like Krishna, especially in Gujarat, you see they make Janmashtami a state holiday, not everywhere in India, not in every state. Should be a national holiday, but we have Christmas Day as a national holiday in India for the benefit of Christians. But Janmashtami, the birth of Krishna, is not a national holiday. But at least in Gujarat, and they put in the newspapers, they'll put a front page of, they put today's in the news is Krishna. And in most of the newspapers, isn't it, in Gujarat? On Janmashtami, they have a nice color picture of Krishna. So the feeling is there for Krishna, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be enough. You have to cultivate that feeling for Krishna in a favorable way. Unfortunately, people's feeling for Krishna in this state has been taken advantage of by different wrongly teaching gurus, just like in this Swami Narayan Sampradaya. They also celebrate Janmashtami, but they say that Swami Narayan, now Pramukh Swami, is Krishna, which is not according to Shastra. It's bogus. So they're taking advantage of people's feeling for Krishna to promote their own idea. And even this, there's this Pandurang Shastri also, who is a complete Mayavadi. But he also talks about Krishna and Gokul and all, because people are, they like that. That attracts people to him. He speaks about that, and then he fills them up with his own wrong ideas. Tree Vriksha Mandir, tree temples, and all funny ideas. They worship the trees and go to the planet of the trees. You know about the planet of the trees? It's an inside joke. It seems that most people know about it. There's one guru here who has tree temples. He has his ideas that plant many trees, and this is a temple, Vriksha Mandir. So they're taking advantage of people's feeling for Krishna and teaching something else. That means that feeling for Krishna is being diverted in another way. So that feeling for Krishna, that's very nice. But mostly we see that people are wrongly guided. They don't have the right idea. Therefore, despite their feeling for Krishna, it doesn't come up. It doesn't become purified because it's not directed in the right way. Practically speaking, even there may be some good sampradaya with good teachings. Here also, in Gujarat, there's one sampradaya of Vaishnavas, which is widely spread. But practically, they don't guide their disciples. They give initiation, Brahm Sambam, they call. You know who I'm talking about? They give some kind of initiation, but they never see their guru. The guru never teaches them. They don't give any rules and regulations. You should follow this, you should follow that. No direction. Simply they become initiated. Now you're a member of our sampradaya, and that's it. No teaching, nothing. So our movement, now we've established this temple, we're thinking, isn't it wonderful? Now the temple is built. And it is wonderful. But now the preaching should begin even more. This should be the beginning of a new wave of Krishna consciousness. Now we have a very nice facility, deities are here, many people will be attracted to come. So they'll be getting the touch of Krishna consciousness. Just seeing, just having the darshan even once will save people from going to hell. Will give people some idea of Krishna. But to really bring them in, change their lives, it's a big job. It's not a small thing to make people take up the chanting of Hare Krishna regularly, to have them follow all these principles, offer their food to Krishna, to get on this right path back to Godhead. And then even then, when people come in, so much guidance is needed to keep them on the right path, and there's so many different ways people can deviate this, that way, this way, that way, and the other. So this temple should be, now we should offer ourselves to Krishna. Now this temple is built, how we will serve Krishna? By bringing people, inviting them to come, preaching to them Krishna consciousness, setting a good example, for others, so that they'll be pleased to follow. If the temple may be very nice, but if we ourselves don't behave properly or don't interact with people very nicely, they won't be inspired. But if we, as they expect, we're coming to the temple, now the whole Baroda is just a big pit of anxiety. Everyone is in anxiety, competition. Everyone's struggling against everybody else. But they expect when we come to the temple, we will feel some nice, peaceful atmosphere, pure atmosphere. So that can actually be created if the devotees have this mood, just like the Vrajokasa, the residents of Vrindavan, who are simply thinking, how to please Krishna? If all the devotees are thinking, how to please Krishna, instead of thinking, how to please myself, that in itself, by that touch of Krishna consciousness in our lives, that in itself will be most purifying. So that when others come in contact with us, they'll also feel, yes, it's very nice to be with the devotees, and they'd also like to take this up. That's going on already. So many people are coming regularly, starting to chant, follow all these principles. But now we have this facility that we should see the, that we should see the temple, that this is just, we should consider just like Vrindavan, the whole area, it's actually the whole area, it's all the spiritual world. So that atmosphere we have to create, not by any other system, not by reading books about how to behave with each other. There are so many books written by non-devotees about how to behave with each other nicely and this and that. But simply by following in the footsteps of great devotees, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, then automatically, if we chant nicely, if we serve Krishna nicely, if we dedicate ourselves, then automatically, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana savai gunais tatra samasate suraha, those who are actually Krishna conscious, then their behavior will be, everything will be very nice. And that will attract others to come also. So let us see now. Let us dedicate ourselves for that. That this is, you will read also in Vrindavan how there are so many hundreds and thousands, many, many devotees of Krishna. So now there's a big temple, we should think how to bring many, many, many people to Krishna. Offer. In the Bhagavatam, in the 14th chapter, Lord Brahma, we see, he was supposed to offer whatever you have to Krishna, so he offered the whole universe to Krishna. So in one sense, the whole universe is already prasad. But within our little part, in this little part of the universe that we are existing in, let us see how we can offer this Baroda city to Krishna. Now we can't offer, we're not the mayor of Baroda, and even he can't offer, because it's not in our control. But we can offer by individually, if we bring people, offer them to Krishna. You'll see in the old medieval books of Gaudiya Vaishnavism how when a guru initiates a disciple, he offers them to the deity. The disciple agrees, I dedicate my life to Krishna, and the guru, the idea is that he offers the devotee, it's not that my disciple, my property, but he's thinking how to offer to Krishna, how he will be engaged, why one becomes a disciple, to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So the idea was there, that you're attached to one particular deity and you spend your life in the service of that deity. Whatever, it may be deity worship, it may be preaching, whatever it is. But the idea is there to offer all your services to Krishna, who we see in a particular form of Radha, Shamasundar, Radha, Madan Mohan, or whatever. What's going on? The door's coming open. It's not closed. There are many things to be got together. So in the modern age, the most important service is that of preaching, which means bringing people to Krishna. So let's see what we can do. The book distributors are going out. You should bring invitation cards. And everyone you meet, tell them, now we have a very nice temple. Please come to the temple. Even they don't take a book. You can ask them at least, give a donation. That will benefit them. So now our preaching should be very much like this. That please come, take darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar. Radha Shyam Sundar should become famous. People should know this name. Just like you'll see towns like Nathdwara, the whole town is based around Srinathji. In Karoli, Madan Mohan, everyone knows Madan Mohan. So here, this should be our ambition, that at least everyone in this town should know Radha Shyam Sundar and feel this is our Krishna. Become attached to him like that. That is very, very powerful for spiritual advancement. If people feel these are our deities, we're coming here to offer our service to them. Hare Krishna. So, any question? Comment?
Thank you, Maharaj. You are nice and good. I have no question, but I have observation. You got this view that cleanness of your mind, cleanness of the environment. Because we are living in a degraded environment. This process is there to make the environment clean. Clean environment, clean society.
Did you notice that the temple isn't very clean? Is this the point you're making?
Very much clean.
Well, I think we all notice. It's pretty difficult not to notice. But it will be seen to. But just now, we just opened the temple. We didn't have a big temple like this to keep clean previously. We've just been in the middle of a huge festival, which is going on day and night, as you may also have noticed. So we have some things to catch up on, of which cleanliness should be the foremost. That we should definitely see to. Without cleanliness, then everything is horrible. Without cleanliness, there's no question of Krishna consciousness. For Bhakshidas Babaji, it may be different, but for us, we have to keep very clean. Yeah, the whole temple room needs cleaning. I asked Jai Damoda to get a team together for that after the class. Taking down all the flowers. And it's going to be difficult to keep this floor very clean until the marble is laid on the pathway. That should be done next week. The marble is here, it just has to be laid. But anyway, we still have to keep it clean. So we need volunteers for helping to clean up. You're number one, presumably.
I think we should leave the flowers for
me. You think so? They're all old. You think they look nice?
The last one.
The thing is, this Mali who brings them, he brings them old when he brings them. All right, Arishari Prabhu will take his word, his order. A difficult man to.
It's the weekend.
Difficult not to follow Arishari Prabhu's order. He was. I don't know whether you inherited that from Prabhupada or from previous life. Oh, he's a man of firm resolve. Feared by all, GBCs, everyone. So all right, but still the whole floor needs cleaning. What about this Yajna Shala? Maybe we should keep one Yajna Kund there. I guess we should discuss that with Vasu Ghosh before we dismantle the whole thing. But that all also has to be taken away. It would be nice to keep one Yajna Kund. Although how often do we do yajnas? Not that often. 2-3 times a year. Anyway, why don't you ask him about that also? First, I think it's best to have a cleanup right away. If you go away and ask about the Yajna Kund, when you come back, there'll be no one left for cleaning. So why don't you organize the cleanup right now, and then afterwards, you can ask if you want to keep one Kund. Otherwise, we have to dismantle that whole area and clean it up too. So it won't take very long just to clean this area, the floor and everything. So, a few volunteers? Like to do? Anyone else? Can do? Okay, so you have... You'd like to help also? Saf Kanaka? I think everyone, mostly you didn't, all didn't chant your rounds, isn't it? Alright, well you have 1, 2, 3, 4, including yourself, so Hare Krishna, get to it.
Should I keep this for a break?
Yeah, keep them tomorrow. Alright.